In this session, we're going to talk about the fourth step in Bible study. One more time, let me review. The first step was understanding what is written in the Scripture. I gave you seven methods for understanding the Scripture. The second step was meditating on the truth you found by applying those methods. The third step was responding to the truth of Scripture by going beyond the sacred page to responding to the Lord with love, faith, and obedience. Now, the fourth step, you say, well, what can be beyond responding to the Lord? And the answer is sharing spiritual truth. So in this session, I'm going to talk about sharing the truth, and I'm also going to give a conclusion to everything we've said thus far. Let me start by suggesting that you should share the truth beginning at home. God never intended to give anyone truth and have it stop with that person. God always gives his word to someone so that individual would in turn give it to someone else. That is the case in the Old Testament. God gave his word to Israel so that they would in turn give it to the world. It's also true in the New Testament. He gives us his truth as believers so that we can broadcast it to the whole world. Therefore, part of Bible study is Bible sharing. If you receive truth and do not distribute truth, you're only producing deadness. But when you receive truth and become the channel for it to be given to others, it will in the process produce life to you. You ever heard of the Dead Sea? Why is it called the Dead Sea? Well, the Dead Sea is dead because it's the lowest spot on the face of the earth. Water comes into it, but does not flow out of it. Therefore, there's no life in it. So you need to absorb truth, and you must give it away. Now, I'm suggesting that you should begin at home. So, the place to begin by sharing the Scripture truth that you've learned is no further away than where you live. Share it with your mate. The husband is commanded to teach his wife the word of God. In Ephesians 5, 25 and 27, Paul wrote, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." In these verses, Paul is saying that a husband is to love his wife. A careful consideration of what follows indicates that that means a husband is to meet the wife's spiritual need. Matter of fact, in verse 26, he says this is done by the word. An implication, if not the explanation of this passage, is that a husband is to share the word of God with his wife. So much so that it is true that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:35 that if a wife has a question, she ought not ask it at church, at least in a public assembly, but go home and ask her husband. Though the Scripture does not specifically mention a wife teaching her husband, the Scripture certainly would say it's appropriate for a wife to share with her husband what she has learned from the Word herself. Some wives possess the gift of teaching. Older women are to instruct the younger women, according to Titus 2:4. Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife team, corrected and instructed Apollos in the things of the Lord in Acts 18:26. If they shared the Scripture together with Apollos, surely they could share the Scripture with each other. So, share the word and begin at home with your mate. share it with your children. Moses, the author of the first five books of the Bible, told us that that's what we should do with the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7, he said, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." End of quote. Moses insisted that first the Word of God be, to quote him, in your heart. Then he instructed that parents were to diligently teach their children. Believers are to first appropriately respond to God themselves, and then they're to share the Word with their family. When God-ordained procedure is followed, the one sharing the Word becomes an example. It's in your heart first, and you're doing it, you become an example to the children. Deuteronomy 6 is not suggesting that parents elect the pulpit in the living room and preach to their children. Rather, they are to teach their children by talking about the Word of God throughout the day, from the time they get up in the morning until the time they lay down at night. They're to share the Scriptures when they sit as well as when they walk. That's what the passage says. You should share the Word of God with your family at mealtime, bedtime, and any time you're with them. It should be as natural to talk about the Lord and His Word as it is to sleep and eat and walk. The New Testament specifically points to the Father as the one who is to teach the children the Word of God. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The fact that this verse is addressed to fathers does not necessarily mean that mothers are not to teach their children. Matter of fact, elsewhere, the Greek word translated fathers here is translated parents elsewhere. So mothers are responsible too. It means that fathers are to be involved in the process and perhaps imply that they're the ones that are ultimately responsible. So, the point I'm making is share the Scripture. And I'm simply saying start at home. Share it with your mate. Share it with your children. God gives us truth so that we can pass it along to others, beginning with our family. God never intended for us to know the truth and preach it before we practice it. We must practice it first, and it will naturally flow out of our being. As Henry David Thoreau said, "A man must see before he can say. At first brush, a man is not capable of reporting truth. To do that, he must be drenched and saturated with it. Then truth will exhale from him naturally." End of quote. Likewise, to teach truth to others before you have taught it to your family is again an abortion of the God-designed process. If we follow God's plan, we would have more godly leaders in our church and fewer failures among them. All right. I'm talking about the fourth response, which is sharing the Word, and I'm suggesting you start with the family. And then, to use a cliche, let the whole world know. When I find a good deal, like a super sale on men's clothes, I tell my family and my friends. Frankly, that's fun. They benefit, get excited, and share the good news with their friends. On occasion, I've told a merchant, "You owe me a commission." To date, none have taken me seriously. I'm kidding, of course. But the point is, when I find a good deal, I share it. God has given us his truth so that we could be set apart to him, and so we would give it to others for them to share in a relationship with him as well. As important as it is to begin at home, we dare not stop there. God desires that the whole world know him and his truth. So let the whole world know, beginning with your world. Now, let me spell out a couple of places where we need to do that. First, after the family, how about sharing it at church? Many passages teach that every believer is responsible for sharing spiritual truth with other believers, especially in the context of the assembly. The writer to the Hebrews admonishes us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. We're to share. That's clear. Paul says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort one another, edify one another, just as you are also doing. And in Ephesians 4:12, the very purpose of equipping the saints is for the work of the ministry. So, share the word. Begin with your family. Share the word at church. Let me suggest that the next place might be work. Technically, the scripture does not mention our lives at work in the modern sense of the term. However, several passages in the New Testament speak directly to slaves. The principle in those passages certainly apply to modern work situations. For example, Paul told slaves to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, Titus 2:9. As they obeyed God's truth, they shared truth with others through the example of their lives. While demonstrating the truth of God with one's life is essential, proclaiming God's truth is the essence of sharing. Without words, works could be misunderstood. Without words, there's no clear message. In order for others to know who is responsible for your conduct at some point, they must have heard you say that you're doing it for Jesus Christ. So the truth must be shared through your lips as well as your life. Thus at work, we should take off the morally dirty clothes of the old life, to use James' expression in James 1:21, and put on the new coat of the teaching of the Word of God, Titus 2:9. We need to wear the right clothes and speak the right words at work. Now, you need to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. At the same time, at appropriate moments, you should not hesitate to tell people about the Lord. Then, beyond the family and the church and work, we should share it to the world. Unfortunately, most of the ministry of the word is limited to the home, church, and possibly work. God wants us to share his word with the whole world. We're to share the gospel with all who are lost, Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we are to teach them to observe all things that Jesus commanded, Matthew 28:20. How you spread the word to the world will depend on your resources and your spiritual gift. All believers should do all they can to spread all the world. Word to the whole world. You can use your own resources to support men and women around the world who are teaching the Word of God. You can use your gift to do it as well. If you have a speaking gift, why not use your ability as much as you can to teach the principles of Scripture? If you have a serving gift, use the gift to support ministries that are accurately and effectively spreading God's truth through the world. Putting the truth that God has taught you on paper and distributing the paper to others is another form of sharing. Has the authors of Scripture not done that with the Bible? If you hadn't, we wouldn't have a Bible. That kind of sharing could actually be more permanent than your speech or your steps. God communicates the truth to us in written form. We should take the clue from Him and do likewise. And in this day of technology, that can be done through the mass media, Facebook, email, Twitter, and all kinds of other means. But share the word with the world. To sum up, you can share the truth of God has taught you through your life, your lips, through literature, through means like MP3s, email, film, emails, you name it. You can share the word of God through all kinds of means. Believers are to share the word of God by their walk, by their talk to the family and fellow believers, and beyond that to the whole world. Please hear me. What I'm about to say is super important. Bible study is not complete until the truth you have shared, discovered, is shared with others. As a matter of fact, I will go so far as to say that I sincerely doubt that you will ever know the truth of the Word of God until you have experienced it and taught it several times. That is so important. I want to repeat it. I doubt that you will ever know the truth of God until you have experienced it and taught it several times. Bible study is not complete until the truth you have discovered is shared with others. At this point, what I'd like to do is give a very brief conclusion to everything that we have talked about so far. Simply put, to sum up, God wrote a book filled with spiritual truth so that believers could be set apart to Him and share His truth with others. Admittedly, the process of mining the ore of spiritual truth is sometimes difficult and time-consuming. But maturity is not easy, is it? Nor does it take place overnight. However, the end product is worth the work. If you have concluded that the procedures presented in this book are too time-consuming, I would like to make a suggestion. Take however much time that you have to study and systematically apply this approach until you've made it through one book of the Bible. If you only have 1 hour a week, you could methodically study that 1 hour for a year, and at the end of the year, you would have mastered at least one book of the Bible, and probably more. After several years of doing that, you would know more about Scripture than you otherwise would. So why wouldn't you do that? There is an ancient and anonymous prayer that is applicable to all who would study the Bible for themselves. It goes like this. From the cowardice that shrinks from new truth, from laziness that is content with half-truth, from arrogance that thinks it knows it all truth, O God of truth, deliver us. My prayer is that you will be a brave, diligent, humble seeker of God's truth, and that when you find it, you will not be content until you have practiced it and shared it with as many people as possible. May we be like Ezra, who in Ezra 10:7 prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances to Israel. You know, that verse probably sums up everything we've discussed so far. Prepare your heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. John Huss, one of the reformers who was burned at the stake in 1415, wrote, "Seek the truth, listen to the truth, teach the truth, love the truth, abide in the truth, and defend the truth unto death." That completes the course on Bible study. However, if you look at the manuscript, you will discover that there is an appendix or two. So, after this, I want to discuss some of that with you.